All right, I ask you tonight to turn with me in your Bible to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 1. I have no idea where this sermon is headed. It's going to have to be kind of like a stick of bologna. We're going to start at the end and just go till I get tired, okay? And cut it off somewhere. Let us pray. Father, we thank you tonight that we have this opportunity to come and assemble ourselves here in this house of worship. We thank you tonight, dear Lord, that we can come and worship in spirit and in truth, and we can do so openly. And we pray for those who tonight are guarding those freedoms around the globe. We pray you might bless them and their families this evening. We ask you now that you might bless in this service. You might let us listen to your word and your spirit. You might purge us from our sins. You might tonight give us the blood-tipped ear of Calvary that the Holy Spirit might speak unto us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I read this morning, I believe it was, and just a little bit more of it this afternoon. I was out in Oklahoma during the tornado. The storm chasers were killed. Two men and one of them's son. I know not a great deal about the storm chasers, except they did come to Smithville after the tornado and had their vehicle on display and talked a little bit to some of the school children. And, of course, that was a tragic thing that they were killed chasing tornadoes out in Oklahoma. And I'm sure tonight their families are in grief and mourning and sorrow. But I got to thinking, who wants to be a storm chaser? I don't think tonight I want to be one. I remember looking at their vehicle, and I thought about when I read that, well, that was a vehicle that was made to withstand all kinds of winds and all kinds of pressure and vacuums, and it seemed like it was impossible to destroy. But the force of God's nature, we never know, do we? And so this evening I would say you ought to pray for those tonight who are in grief and sorrow in that situation. I thought another thing as I read about the tornado out in Oklahoma and the victims there, and certainly having gone through what we went through a couple of years ago, it makes it a little bit more real, I suppose. And I know nothing about tweeting, okay? I have no idea what they're talking about. I mean, I got a little bit of an idea, but some guy had said on Twitter that several of the different individuals, famous individuals, had said their prayers. They were sending their prayers up for those in the Oklahoma tornadoes, and this guy created quite a flap. I don't even know who he is, because he said he guessed he was in trouble. He just sent money. And I got to thinking about that, you know, and James said we're to be doers of the word, not hearers only. And certainly tonight we certainly should pray, and our prayers should go out for those tonight in that great tragedy and terrible calamity that happened out in Moore, Oklahoma. But even more than that tonight, as Brother James said, if we see someone that's naked and destitute, and we say, you know, go be filled and be warm and do nothing to help them, our faith tonight's not really a great faith. And so this evening, I would remind you that we are to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Jeremiah in our chapter tonight, and Jeremiah is the weeping prophet. He was called to be a prophet to the nation of Judah. Judah had, of course, Israel had split into two divisions after the death of Solomon. And after Solomon's death, it split into the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. The northern kingdom containing 10 tribes and the southern kingdom containing the two tribes of Judah and Benjamin. And those two tribes comprised the southern kingdom, and it was known as Judah. Several years before the Babylonian captivity, and the Babylonians came in and took Jerusalem and the rest of the people that we read about in the scripture tonight captive. The Assyrians had already came and destroyed the nation of Israel and carried them into captivity, the northern kingdom. And Jeremiah and Isaiah were prophets to the southern kingdom. And here in chapter 1, we're going to look tonight at a couple of things real quickly and maybe see some things the Lord asked us to do tonight that sometimes is not a real comfortable thing. It's not a real enjoyable thing at times. But as we look at Jeremiah, and Jeremiah was called by God, so let's look what it says here in Jeremiah chapter number 1. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, and in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, the king of Judah, unto the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the 5th month. Then the Lord, word of the Lord came unto me, saying, now, I'm pretty sure if I read the rest of the book of Jeremiah and I look at Jeremiah's life before verse number 4, we'll find that Jeremiah was probably very comfortable in his life. Jeremiah was a man that was living here in the nation of Judah. He was a faithful man and a man tonight that was true and loyal to God. I have no doubt about that. And I'm sure that he was a good individual, an honest and ethical man. And Jeremiah was just living his life, enjoying the time that he was living. He wasn't going around looking for trouble, and he certainly didn't want to create any problems in his life or anybody else's life. But something changed. And Jeremiah became a household word in the city of Jerusalem. He became a name tonight that was either feared tonight or hated and despised. A man that was either loved tonight or hated. Jeremiah tonight, as he's living his life and everything seems to be going well, Jeremiah suddenly tonight, the man that's not looking for trouble or problems, is fixing to get into a whole heap of trouble. The Bible says in verse 4, then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, you see, the Lord came calling. Sometimes we think when the Lord comes calling that everything's going to get rosy. Everything's fixing to be great and wonderful, and boy, how great it's going to be. And certainly in many ways it is. But from the outward look, sometimes it's not quite that way. Jeremiah was fixing to be uprooted out of his life. His life was going to be completely changed and turned around, and Jeremiah would never be the same again. The Lord came calling. You see, he had plans for Jeremiah. Behold, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. There is the sovereignty of God. Now, I want to say something, and I don't know exactly all the ramifications about some things, but every time I hear about an aborted baby, I wonder if some babies have been aborted that the Lord tonight had called and would have called and used. I don't know. But I find here that God knew Jeremiah before he was ever conceived, before Jeremiah ever became a babe in his mother's womb. God said, I knew you. That's the sovereignty of God in life, folks. God is sovereign over this thing. Sometimes we think we're in charge and we're in control, but understand this, God tonight is still in charge. He is the sovereign God of glory. And he said to Jeremiah, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest out of the womb, I sanctified thee. I set thee apart. Before you were ever born, Jeremiah, I set you apart. Now, I don't know all of tonight about God's sovereignty, but here he's saying to Jeremiah that before you were ever born, I set you apart, and I set you apart, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. He said, Jeremiah, I'm calling. I've already set you apart. I've already ordained you to be a prophet among the nations. Now, Jeremiah knew what a prophet was. Jeremiah had heard about prophets, and he knew that he was tonight what God was talking about. And so, you know, Jeremiah tonight was called by God. You see, Jeremiah wasn't looking tonight to go out and preach God's message. He wasn't looking tonight to go into the land of Judah and cause all the problems and troubles that were to follow him. He wasn't looking tonight to be God's man to stand at that hour. But he was the man that God chose. You see, God called and had plans for Jeremiah. You read through the scriptures tonight and you find that God has plans for many people in the scripture. He had a plan for Abraham. He called Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees and said, go into a land that I will show you. I want you to look tonight for a city whose builder and maker is God. I'm going to give you a land and make a great nation out of you, Abraham. Leave Ur of the Chaldees and follow me. I got a mission for you. I've got a plan for your life. He called Moses out of the backside of the desert to go and be the leader that of the children of Israel out of the city, out of the land of bondage. And he said, Moses, I got a job for you. I've got plans for your life. I've got something I need for you to do. He called Jonah and said, Jonah, I need you to go down to Nineveh. Nineveh is a very wicked city, I know, Jonah, and they're probably not going to receive you very well. But he said, I want you to go to Nineveh and preach the preaching that I bid you. Jonah, I got a plan for your life. He called Amos and said, Amos, I know that you're a farmer and a sheep herder. But he said, I need you to go down to the city and I need you to proclaim a message there in the city. And bring my message to those people of that hour. I got a plan for your life, Amos. You know, sometimes we need to realize God has a plan for our life. God knows every one of us tonight. God knows you and he knows me. I'm glad of that. Aren't you?
Yeah.
Well, sometimes I'm glad of it. Every once in a while I think maybe the Lord, Lord, can I hide from you? I want to be like Adam every once in a while. Now listen to me. God has a plan for our life. That's what he had for Jeremiah. He said, Jeremiah, I got a plan for your life. I got something I want you to do. I've got a mission for you to carry out. Jeremiah, I want you to do my bidding and my work. You're to become my prophet. You're to become my spokesman. You're to head out and do what I want you to do. But Jeremiah said, can't do that, Lord. And then said I, oh, Lord God. He didn't doubt the Lord's calling. He didn't doubt the validity of what God was saying. He didn't doubt the certainty that it was the Lord speaking. He simply said, Lord God. Behold, I cannot speak, for I'm a child. Oh, Lord, I can't do that. Lord, I'll do anything else, but I can't do that. I just can't do that, Lord. Jonah said, hey, I'm not going to Nineveh. Moses said, hey, Lord, I can't do that. I stutter too much. Listen to me tonight. Most of the time we try to find a reason why we don't want to do what God wants us to do. But you know, God never blinked an eye. But the Lord said unto me, say not that I'm a child. My grandma would say, hush your mouth. Jeremiah, just hush your mouth. For thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, that shall thou speak. He said, Jeremiah, just hush your mouth. You're going to go where I send you, and you're going to speak what I want you to speak. And I said, how can the Lord be so sure about that? How can the Lord be so sure that Jeremiah is going to do what his plan is for him? Well, if you'll flip over just a few chapters in Jeremiah to chapter 20, I think Jeremiah here himself gives us the answer. And Jeremiah in this particular chapter has got into a conflict with a man by the name of Pastor, who is the chief governor in the house of the Lord. And he and Jeremiah got into conflict over what God was saying. Because you see, Jeremiah's message wasn't a pleasant message, but the Bible tells in verse number 2 of chapter 20, then Pasher smote Jeremiah the prophet and put him in the stocks that were in the high gate of Benjamin, which was by the house of the Lord. Put him out on public display. Put him out so everybody would see who, when they passed by, that here was this crazy Jeremiah, and we're going to take care of him. And I'm not going to read all down through the rest of it, but Jeremiah got a little bit discouraged. Probably you and I would. And verse number 7, he said, O Lord, thou hast deceived me. That I was deceived, thou art stronger than I, and hast prevailed. I am derision daily. Everyone mocketh me. He said, there's nobody believing what I say, and everybody's making a fun of me. Everybody's mocking me. Everybody's going around talking about me. For since I spake, I cried not. I cried out. I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and a derision daily. He said, every time I spoke the word of God, somebody would come back and make fun of me about it. Was calling all kinds of problems. Then I said, I'll not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name. Jeremiah said, I'll just quit. I'm just going to quit. I ain't going to do this no more. You ever feel like quitting? Ever just say, hey, I'm going to quit on the Lord. I'm just going to quit. What Jeremiah was saying. But then he said something. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. He said, the word began to burn so much in me, I just couldn't be quiet. It just had to come out. You see, that's why God was so certain of what was going to take place in Jeremiah. The word of God became to be burning in his life. He was the burning prophet of God, the weeping prophet of God. And God's word tonight, as it gets into our hearts and our lives, it cannot be stayed. He had a plan for Jeremiah, and he came calling and said, Jeremiah, I got a plan for your life. You're going to be a prophet to this nation. Your message is not going to be a message that's popular. You're basically going to tell them they've sinned against me and against God and against the heaven. You're going to tell them that because of their sin and because of all that they saw and all the testimony they witnessed of their sister Israel, if they're going to go into the Babylonian captivity, they might as well give up now and just drive on down to Babylon, because there's nothing they can do to stop it. You say, now wait a minute, that's exactly what God told Jeremiah. I paraphrased it, but he said, the Babylonians are coming, Jeremiah. Nothing they can do to stop it. They've become dross silver. They've sinned against heaven and against me. And Jeremiah, you need to warn the people about what's fixing to happen. The judgment of God is going to take place. They're going to spend 70 years in captivity, but then I'm going to set them free and bring them back into this land. We need to realize tonight that God already knows the future. God already knows what's going to take place tomorrow and the next day and the next week and the next year. It's not my job tonight to decide what's going to happen. God already has that mapped out. Our responsibility as God's people tonight, as our responsibility as God's spokesman in this world this evening, is to preach and to teach the Word of God, to send out that the judgment of God is coming. I have no idea that it'll come today or tomorrow or next week, but the judgment of God is coming. And when it comes tonight, there's nothing we can do about it. It's on its way. Our job tonight is to preach the gospel of the Son of God, to get as many people ready to escape the wrath of God as we can before the Lord comes tonight. I'm sure tonight that God has a plan for my life, and I know that He has one. I know He has a plan for your life. He has a plan for every one of His churches tonight to be tonight the prophet of God, to be the spokesman for God, to preach the Word of God, to send out the message of the gospel. That's God's plan for us this evening. Jeremiah said, I can't do that. God said, you're going to do it. That's your mission. Verse number 8, then he says, be not afraid of their faces. And I usually think their face is not really what bothers me. You know. Be not afraid of their faces. For I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. You see, the Lord calls us, but the Lord also tonight equips us. He takes care of us tonight. The Lord tonight is the one tonight that says, I'm going to take care of you. You're in my hands. I'm glad we're in the hands of God this evening. I'm glad God's got His hands about us this evening. I'm glad tonight that He told Jeremiah here, don't be afraid. You don't have to be afraid of their faces, Jeremiah, for I'm with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. I'm going to be with you. I'm glad tonight the Lord's with us. Tonight we may have to go in the fiery furnace, but thank God He's in there with us. Amen. We may have to cross the Red Sea, but thank God He'll be there with us. We may be put in prison as with Paul and Silas, but He'll be there with us. We may go into the giant fish or the whale tonight, as did Jonah, but He'll be there with us. We may be accused of things as Amos and other prophets were, but thank God He'll be there with us. We may be cast tonight in the den of lions, but He'll be there with us. God said, I'm with you. Hallelujah tonight. His presence tonight is there for us this evening. He said, I'm going to be with you. Amen. I'm glad tonight the presence of God is with each of us this evening. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Then the Lord put forth His hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I put my words in thy mouth. See, the Lord tonight is the one that puts the words in our mouth. When we study and I don't want you to misunderstand that tonight. Paul said, study to show thyself a workman approved unto God that needeth not to be ashamed. We're tonight to study and to read God's word, and tonight we're to allow it to have a grip on our lives. But it's really the Lord that puts the message in our mouth. It's the Lord that equips us for the job that He has for us to do. It's the Lord tonight that takes care and preserves us this evening, and He also gives us the equipment we need to fight whatever fight we need to fight. Amen. See, this day I have set thee over nations and over kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy, and to throw down, to build and to plant. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? And I said, a rod of an almond tree. Then the Lord unto me, thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. And the word of the Lord came unto me the second time, saying, what seest thou? And I said, I see a seething pot, and the face thereof is toward the north. And the Lord said unto me, out of the north, and evil shall break forth upon all the inhabitants of the land. For lo, I will call all the families of the kingdoms of the north, saith the Lord. And they shall come, and they shall set every one in his throne, at the entering of the gates of Jerusalem and against all the walls thereabout and against the cities of Judah. You see, he said, hey, Jeremiah, I'm going to do what I said I'd do. Your job is to get out there and tell the people and warn the people of the impending judgment of God. Tonight, God has a plan for us. God has a plan for me. He has a plan for you, and he has a plan for Rocky Springs. It encompasses tonight the message of the Word of God, that we're to stand tonight, and we are tonight to be God's spokesman and God's prophet for this hour and this time, to declare unto the nation, to declare unto the world, to declare unto the communities and cities. The Bible is the Word of God. Jesus Christ is the Son of God and the Savior of the world. He's coming tonight, and he's coming in great power and great glory. He's coming to take his bride out, and the judgment of God's going to fall, and the tribulation period is going to begin, and hell will be upon this earth. The Antichrist will reign and rule in a reign of terror. But thank God tonight there's an escape through Jesus Christ. We still have that message this evening. God has a plan for us tonight, and he'll be with us, he'll equip us, he'll take care of us. And you know, sometimes we think, well, we need to quit, but God's word always burns in our heart, doesn't it? Let us lift up the message of God and lift up the blood-tipped banner of Calvary and say tonight, Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. All right, if you'll stand with me. Brief you and Barbara come. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time we've been together. We ask to take this very simple message, use it for the honor and glory of him who loved us and gave himself for us. In Jesus' sweet name.